Guys, I'm so excited today that we got through teaching this morning. Let me invite you, if you're not part of a Catalyst class, we have great Bible teachers, and I didn't get a chance to acknowledge them this morning, but if you're a Catalyst teacher, would you just stand for us this morning? Let us acknowledge you. I know there's some still out there, and just stand up for us. Let us acknowledge. I see you, Brother Richard, Steve. Teach children through adults, through youth. Keep looking around. And we're missing a couple of the guys, and I'm just so thankful. Let's give God praise for these men. There's others that are in security. Some of them double dip. They teach, and they also are on security, and they also do some other things that around the church. So we're thankful for the people that are behind the scenes. We don't always get acknowledged, like our media team, the preschool team, children's team, and the children. By the way, the children are in children's church today. They're right out to my right. If you have a child that wants to go. I think they're having a lot of snacks today. So anyway, today's that day. I was trying to sneak in some snacks before I came in. That's why I was a little bit late. So there was a lot of noise starting. So take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We put a stall. We kind of stalled. We went through Hebrews. We've been going through a little bit faster, and then all of a sudden we hit the slow motion button. The reason we hit the slow motion button, we need to find out, why is this information here? Why is it there? And God has a word, I think, for all of us today, even from the standpoint of hearing one verse. Can you imagine Pastor Clint Smith at Town Creek Baptist Church is preaching from one verse today? Hang on, there's a lot in this verse. That's when we started. We begin chapter 11. We've told you it's been called the Hall of Faith. That's kind of been the nickname scholars gave it, because it talks about the faith. It talks about what faith is. There's a definition, verse 1, what faith is. It goes right into the very first righteous man after Adam, which was Abel. And it talks about Abel's faith is still alive today. Do you ever think about the righteousness of Abel? Have you ever even 1 minute's thought of the righteousness of Abel outside of church? Raise your hand if you have. You just ponder, how did you never have you ever done that? Because why didn't God accept Cain's offering and he did accept Abel's? You've never just pondered that and thought? Because surely you've done some comparison. If you have any siblings, you've compared yourself to your siblings, have you not? Or to your coworkers or other students or teachers, whomever it might be. We do comparisons. We want to think about, and I want to encourage you, if you ever have a comparison time, go back to the original Adam and Eve. Why did they sin? They sinned because they were tempted and they were led astray, yet they chose to sin. Remember that. That's called the original sin. But is their righteousness still within the man, human mankind? Is there righteousness among us today? The answer is yes. Our righteousness is found, remember this, not in yourself and of yourself. You're not, mark this down, take it to the bank, you're not a good person. That might offend some of you, and I hope it does, because you need to go see what the scripture says about you. Listen to God's finger pointing at you and say, you're not a good person. Every intent of the heart, the Bible says, is evil since the beginning. Since Adam and Eve sinned, you were born a sinner and you choose by your own options to sin. You were only made good, because when Jesus was confronted, they called him good. And he says, there's none good but whom? God. And there's none good but God. God the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. We know that. You're made righteous once you have been invited to the throne of God. And God says, today, would you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved? Once you feel or hear that still calling that you have, that God's calling you, the Bible says no man, woman, boy, or girl are ever going to come to God unless God calls them. Do you understand that? Jesus said that himself. You don't get to dictate when you're going to make your life right with God. You, no matter how important you are in society or how important you think you are in society, you don't get to choose when you will come to Christ except when he calls you. It's like I mistakenly left my phone in here. My wife's traveling today. She's worshiping in the upstate with my son and family. And if she calls me, because she's going to 8:30 service, so if my phone goes off, we're all going to have a conversation with Wendy. I'm going to put her on the speaker and say, you know we're in church. Why are you calling me? All right, y'all ready for that? I don't think she will, but sometimes Wendy does things that Wendy does. Anyway, what I want you to see is, if no one's calling, I can't answer, right? It's just a dead block. You can't receive Christ until he calls you, invites you to himself. He calls you through his word. He calls you through the preaching of the word. We don't just stand up here week after week after week, sing songs about God, sing songs about redemption, preach messages about redemption so that you can actually say, what a good day in church, or that was an awful day in church, and walk out the doors. God compels you through his word, through the preaching of the word, come to Jesus. The question is he calling? The Bible said God would that no man would perish. Jesus said of himself, for God so loved everyone in the world, that he gave his only begotten son, myself, that's what he's talking about himself, that whoever believes in me shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Was Jesus mistaken? You don't get access to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Is that true from John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, woman, boy, or girl, comes to the Father except through me. So when we preach God's word, the Holy Spirit stirs in our hearts to say yes, or I'm not really sure, maybe next week. That's a no. You receive Christ or you reject Christ. But once you receive Christ, you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are made righteous in his eyes. You are made, if you will, that one part of you, that Holy Spirit-controlled environment, he lives inside of you. That is good. But can a Christian still sin and do wrong things? Weekly, daily, hourly, whatever seconds are, secondly, whatever you can and you will, because you have these two natures. The Bible warns us about the two natures. I know it's trivial, and I was a children's minister for 13 years, so I can't get over it. Put your hand up like this. Put it right or left hand up. Your choice. This is the spiritual walk that Galatians 5 talks about. Walk in the Spirit and you'll be led by the Spirit. That's the Spirit. All right, keep them up. You have this sin nature. It's called the flesh. The Bible says you walk in the flesh and you'll fulfill the desires of the flesh. Then Paul goes on to tell us that the Spirit and your flesh, this is you and God, rub them together. They are constantly at war with one another. And you did this as children, and the faster you do it, listen, Lord, I want myself. And we constantly have friction in our lives. We can't figure out what's wrong. Why does my life seem to be falling apart? I love when people ask me that question. Where can you go if you're a Christian to find out why your life's falling apart? Oftentimes, we look in the mirror when we're brushing our teeth. What's wrong with my life? The Bible says we're to go to this mirror. You'll find what's wrong with your life. You'll find out many times it's the middle letter of sin. It's the middle letter of pride. And there's three of us, me, myself, and I. It's you. Oftentimes, does God have a problem? Does God have any problems? Has God ever sinned? Come on, talk back to me. He's never made a mistake. He's perfect. He's holy. So, your pointer gets to do this. Where's the problem lie in your life? Right here, exactly. Oh, me. It's me, Lord. I'm the one in need. It's me, oh, Lord. We just sing, standing in the need of what? Prayer. Somebody pray for me because I'm straying from God. Life is heavy. And Jesus told us that his burden is what? Light. What's wrong? Is Jesus a liar? Then what's wrong when our burdens, we're yoked so deeply heavy we can't get over it? You've been hitching yourself to the wrong post or to the wrong oxen, have you not? You want to lead. You want to get ahead of him. And he says, get behind me. I'm your leader. I'm your L-O-R-D, Lord. That means he's the line leader. He's in front. Whatever Jesus says, that's what we do. Will Jesus make you uncomfortable? Throughout history, as we study the Hall of Faith, you'll find out God never made it easy for one person in life. As a matter of fact, Paul, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, he says, I have chosen you to suffer for me on my behalf. Paul was a scholar. He was a man we would all look up to as an intellectual. But God said, he told Ananias, you pray for him because I have chosen him to be a vessel of suffering. How would you like that job? Well, we got another hard job today. Go to Hebrews 11:7. Watch what happens. This is an incredible job. I would hate this job because I hate building stuff. I'm not a carpenter, and hate is a strong word. I realize someone's going to tell me, Pastor, you shouldn't say hate. It's a strong word. I hate building stuff. Ask my brother. Even cars, I'll break them. I'll break a perfectly good car. My truck engine, something happened to it a long time ago, and he says, I said, what do I do? He said, just take out. You've worked on cars with me when we were kids. Just take out what you think needs to be taken out. I took out everything. And he comes home and sees my truck. What'd you do that for? Why'd you unhook that? Where's that piece? Where's the bolts? I'm like, well, I put them all over here. I'm terrible at fixing things. Come to my house. I will try. It's still standing. I haven't burned it down in 16 years. I haven't been home today yet. So let's look at something today. God is speaking to us today in our generation. God's knocking on our doors of our heart. God's telling us to get in line with him. But you know what we're waiting on? That big break. Lord, just give me the blessing today. And people are claiming and naming their name and stuff all over the planet. And they're telling God what he's going to do. They're telling God how he's going to bless them. It's the dumbest time ever to live to listen to people that would not take the word of God and preach their own message. So let me go to the word so I'm not preaching my own message. Last week we had a definition. We're not going to rehash that. Hebrews 11:1, go back if you were not here last week or listen. The definition of faith, it is putting our full trust in a God we've never seen, we've never touched, we've never smelled, none of our senses have touched him, never, don't even have a picture of him, but we believe. How crazy is that? Until you experience him, it sounds foolishness and crazy. Is that true? Noah. Imagine if God told Noah to build this place as an ark. The measurements in the ark, for the ark are in the Bible. You could build your own ark today just by following the measurements and what God said. I don't think the animals are going to come, but they might. A couple birds might get in there. Let's go to verse 7 and look at this. By faith, Noah. That's comma. Well, we have to go back and say, let's set this verse 7 up with verse 6 because we can't leave verse 6 up there because we understand. Go back to verse 6. But without faith, it is, what does your Bible say? It is impossible to please him, that's God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Those who come after him like you do your career, your sports, your music, whatever it is that your hobby, your favorite thing to do, you pursue God, and the Bible says that makes God happy. You say, well, how can I make God happy? It brings joy in the presence of God. The Bible says there's a celebration when one lost person comes to Christ. Did you know that? There's a celebration in heaven before God. Another one, we sang about the tribes and nations. You ever think about all the tribes and nations standing around the throne of God? I've got a place reserved somewhere around that throne. I am there. When Revelation speaks of it, guess what? When I sing it, I don't sing it as if it's going to happen. I sing it as it already has happened. My ticket was punched years ago when I gave my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. My spot, wherever it is around the throne of God, is reserved. Reserved for me only. Is yours reserved? We read about the Lamb's Book of Life. Names written down. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No one can erase it and take it out. Is yours written in? You say, well, Pastor, I'm not really sure about my faith. Well, God's not a God who's an unsure God. He's very specific. Why does he say what he says in his word? You say, well, I've never heard that. That's because you haven't read. You don't even have to be able to understand, to read English. You don't even have to be literate anymore. You can press play. I listened to the Psalms this morning. I listened to 10 Psalms this morning just getting ready for church. I'm like, oh, I forgot that. Lord, that's powerful. That's incredible. And what happens is when you start seeing God, like we're about to see with Noah, God keeps getting bigger. And the bigger your God, guess what? He drags you along and gives you bigger faith. We talked about this morning in Bible study. God gives you a measure of faith. Just a measure. When you become a Christian, some people get this much. Some people get this much. Some people get this much. I don't know how much God gives, but he says he apportions a portion of faith to you. If you're a Christian, you've been given faith. For by grace you're saved through faith, not of works. So you can't boast before God. You can't say you did it your way. God gives you his grace. He extends it to you to call you to himself. And then when you receive Christ, he says, I'm going to give you faith. So by faith, we trust him. By faith, we preach this message. By faith, we read the word. By faith, verse 8, look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, what did he do? Being divinely warned, what was he warned of? We know we have the answer sheet. By faith, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, which was catastrophic flood of the whole world, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of whom? His household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah is our great, 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 great G-paws back there somewhere. We all come from Noah's family. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Have you ever looked at where people went? Who's your great-granddaddy, not Noah, but at one of his boys? Do you know who your lineage is from? Some people have done 23andMe. Some people have done Ancestry.com. We do all these things trying to find out, who are we? Where did we come from? And the Bible tells us very clearly where we come from. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created all of creation. And on the final day, he created Adam out of the dust. He saw it wasn't good that Adam was alone, so he took Adam and put him to sleep, and then he pulled a rib and made woman. That's where we come from. There's no time for knuckle draggers. There's no evolution. In the beginning, God created all things. In the beginning, God created a perfect man and a perfect woman. There was no time for man and chimps to come together. There is no ape man. Nothing exists. But we as Christians and even as educated people in society, we won't push back because we don't really know the science behind it. Do you need to know the science behind if it contradicts the word of God? It's useless. It's like reading a Spider-Man comic book. I got a news for you. There is no Spider-Man. It's make-believe. But people will put faith in evolution. Well, maybe God used evolution to actually create the world. It's called theistic evolution. The Bible says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And everyone who is a proponent of evolution is a fool because they want to take God out of the picture. They want to explain away the things via science. Who's in charge and who created science, if you will? Who created the quote-unquote natural laws? Who created the elements? Who created the air that you are breathing and the blood that's flowing in your veins right now? Well, Pastor, you're just uneducated. You don't know science. I will take the word of God any day over science. Because when you look into the word of God, when science versus the Bible is 100% always right. Science is constantly changing to catch up with the Bible. There should have been some amens there, but some of you don't believe that because you don't read the word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he tells us what he did every day. Well, Pastor, we can't really be sure that day meant day. It could have been millions of years. We never argue through the whole Bible what day means except in Genesis. Because we were taught to argue that point. It could have been millions of years. Well, God could have took 600 million years. Pastor, I love these conversations. Because this is where faith comes in. This is where Noah comes in. Did God use 600 million years? Could God have used 600 million years? Yes or no? If he wanted to, he's God. Could have God done it in 6 milliseconds like that if he wanted to? Yes, because why, church? Because he's God. Could God have done it in 6 days if he wanted to? Why? What did he say he did it in? Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, day 7, he rests. What is today? What day of the week is it? All right, so listen. Is it the 7th day or the 1st day? It's the 1st day of the week, right? When did God, listen, when the Sabbath is, Saturday, it's the rest day. When we get into studying the word of God, we find out Noah's living under all of this understanding of creation. He just missed his grandpa Adam. Did you know that? His great-great-grandpa Adam. Did y'all know that? You ever seen lineage? You ever drawn out the lineage or seen it from the word of God? We believe it's a straight shot lineage. Let's continue. I want you to see this. Get your notes if you would so we can actually... I'll preach another message. This is so exciting stuff. That's why we slowed down today. Noah lived in a corrupt and sinful generation, yet his faith heritage remained strong. We're going to look at it in just a minute. We won't have time. We'll get to the references, but we'll find out. If you come to Bible study, you already know Noah's great-great-grandpa was Enoch. And the Bible says Enoch, in 524 of Genesis, says Enoch walked with God over 300 years. He was a righteous man. He chose to follow God during the most corrupt time that we can explain. Before the flood, every man's thoughts were evil. I'm talking evil. We have children in the room, so we can't talk a lot about it. Chapter 6 is one of those chapters when you read, you'll scratch your head and say, wait a minute. Chapter 6, where we get to know about Noah a little bit, it's confusing. It says the sons of God came into the sons of men, of women, and had children, and there were giants in the land. Is that saying that angels had the ability back in that time to reproduce with human women? Pastor, that sounds weird to me. Well, chapter 6, I can't explain it fully. Some people say, no, that's the lineage of Seth and the lineage of Cain. I don't see that because when you reference sons of God throughout the Bible, it's talking about angels. Do I understand it? I'm standing before you today and telling you, I don't fully understand. Chapter 6 kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies when I read it and go, wait a minute. If that's true, then, right, there's a lot of questions we have there. There's giants in the land. Let's continue. I want you to see this in your notes. Noah walked with God just as his great-grandfather Enoch had done before him. Noah's faith was steadfast, and by it he received God's warning of the great flood that was coming, even though the flood was still over 100 years away. Over a century in the future, Noah had to believe. That's what verse 11 tells us. Chapter 11, verse 7 says, Noah believed God. And this was 100 years, y'all. We don't even live 100 years old anymore. There's a few people. We can't even believe God for tomorrow. When God says, he said, Lord, I got to pay this bill, and you're chewing your nails. Lord, what am I going to do? And you went out, and you couldn't afford it, but the salesman said you could, and you bought an $80,000 truck on a $20,000 budget. I'm not God, but I can tell you what to do. Sell it. Is that hard? Lord, what do I do? A 6,000 square foot house, and there's only two of us. Sell it. You can answer your own prayers. You get so overloaded, we're like, oh God. And we go back to Philippians, and Paul says, and my God shall supply all of your need, not greed, according to his riches and glory. We had an event yesterday. We fed the community because we, our government, I have to speak because God ordained government, so I have to speak rightly and pray for them. Do you pray for the government, of the government leaders? Because that's our people. We elected them. We pray, Lord, have your will, have your way. But we had an awesome time feeding. It was a lot of work. Some of you donated a lot of food. And somebody said, how many people are going to come and just take advantage, Pastor? How many do you think? I said, as usual. And we were working with Next Generation. We were talking about it, me and Adrian. We said, here's our stats. We don't know if we're accurately correct. There'll be 92% greedy and 8% needy. But you know what? Every person that came was made in the image of God. We have a responsibility to be Christ, to be a minister of reconciliation to the world. We were able to share the gospel. We shared food, yes. We shared food that you donated and resources that you donated to buy food. We shared, but we gave out. There was gospel music. There was prayer time. There was the sharing of salvation in Christ alone. We had opportunity to meet some of our community folks we would never meet. So is it worth it? Is it worth it to be the hands and feet of God? Because you're the only Jesus some people see. You're the only Jesus with skin on. Noah knew in his day, it was terrible in his day. But his great-grandpa had taught him, son, you walk with God. Son, great son, grandson, you walk with God. And they were not illiterate people going, duh, where's the nail? Ding, 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 and they're knocking out like this. These are people who wrote the word of God. There were not idiots in the beginning. Adam and Eve were smarter than you. I don't know what your IQ is, but they were smarter than you are. Cain, even though he was in sin, built cities. He built a city. There were musicians. There were workers of metal. There were musicians. Listen, when God, he put in man's heart knowledge. And how do you express yourself? How many of you guys are extremely gifted as a singer? Anybody just, you God's blessed you to carry a tune? No one, all right? Whew, Lord. Send us some musicians. All right. How many of you guys can play an instrument? Well, preacher, I played back in high school and college, but I ain't done it. I'm rusty. Well, rusty, get off your bump and practice for the Lord. You can be used this Christmas, right? Make a joyful noise. How many of you guys can make a noise for the Lord? So the Bible says, right? Chris is recruiting for a Christmas choir just to sing to God and for our community, for ourselves, and just to come together and worship God. This is what Enoch would have taught Noah. Let's continue on your notes. By faith, Noah obeyed God's command, and with unwavering trust in God's word, which is important, he began to build the ark. Though the world had never seen rain, that we believe, most scholars believe, or a flood, Noah, moved by reverence for God, followed his instructions, preparing the ark for the salvation of his family. How did we know he knew what to build? It's dry land. What does he build? Yeah, the Bible says God said to Noah. Do you think when God speaks, he goes, hey, that's how many people explain God's their relationship with God. Like Charlie Brown's teacher. Well, I asked God, Pastor, and I don't know what to do. I said, what did God say? I haven't heard from him. You know, if you haven't heard from him, you haven't read any of his letters, his love letters. You haven't read any of his volume of the 66 books that he gave you. God has pre-spoken before you sinned. Do you understand that? Your answer to prayer is right here. Well, Pastor, my name's not in the Bible. That's what I used to say. I can't find my name anywhere in the Bible besides the smiths, the workers of metals. Does God tell me to be a blacksmith? Don't be foolish like that. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, I desperately, first you need a relationship with God. He is not obligated to speak to you or anyone else who has not trusted him as their Lord and Savior. Will he speak to lost people? Yes, he has, because that's how we become saved. God speaks, and we must obey. We used to sing trust and obey because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but what? To trust and obey. What's the problem today? As in the days of Noah, we read this morning, Lamech had Noah and other sons and daughters. That would make them what to Noah? You ever thought about Noah's brothers and sisters? Anybody ever thought about Noah's brothers and sisters? Were they on the ark? So a same lineage of a spiritual lineage of faith, of righteousness, other people heard, even that they had to hear Noah preach. But the generation was so attractional that they're like kids at a circus or kids at a zoo or kids at the fair. Mom, let's go here. Mom, let's get here. Let's go buy a hot dog so we can ride that wheel and eat the hot dog twice, right? Let's do this because there's a word called amusement that we love, do we not? Some of you sat through hours yesterday watching a football game. Tons of pharmaceutical commercials and everything else. Hoping your team's going to finally win this week. Did they, by the way? I don't know. I love rubbing that in because I can't stand any college ball anymore. My son and my daughters threw all the college sports. Guess what? I took off my jacket and I hung up my fan hat. I have other things to do. I don't care what Carolina does. I don't care what Dabo says. And by the way, if you follow like that, some people wear their colors all the time, right? And everybody's, Pastor, well, Dabo's he's a Christian man. Did you hear him cuss out his team last week in tirade? You can't let salt water and fresh water come out of the same mouth. You would never turn your kids on to somebody who actually speaks that way. If you do, you're a fool. Your kids aren't growing up in righteous understanding. You've got to come to a place like Enoch did for Noah. He laid a foot ground for him, but also he laid it for everyone else, and only the righteous walked in it. Noah chose to follow God. Noah could have been partying with the society that's around him. He could have done everything everybody else was doing. It was at his disposal, yet the Bible says he was faithful. The Bible says he was righteous. Let's continue to see. This is amazing. He was reverent to God because he knew God had spoken. Through his obedient faith, Noah condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that comes by faith. As God revealed his plan to judge the earth with a flood, Noah found grace in God's sight. This grace was God's unmerited favor given to Noah and his family in a time of widespread wickedness. God extended. That's what grace is for you and me today, is when we talk about you must give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. The picture of Noah and going into the ark is a picture of me giving my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see it? Can you see the unclean animals coming in going, where are we going? I don't know. Up the ramp. Have you can see it? And then we look and see the clean animals coming going, hey, aren't there more of us than them? You ever read about the clean animals? We've always saw, I told earlier in Catalyst, we are the worst people about teaching the Bible to our children. Who built the ark? Come on, sing it with me. Who built the ark? Come on, y'all have never been a children's man, I can tell. Who built the ark? Noah, Noah, who built the ark? Brother Noah built the ark. How many of you guys ever sing that song? Well, you don't remember it because y'all are terrible. And then archy-archy, Noah took the animals out of the muddy-muddy and put them on the archy-archy. We talk to children in preschool songs and make it sound so fun of the largest catastrophic event in the world that God's ever destroyed the whole earth. He killed. Hey, do we sing to the preschoolers? Get on the ark. You're going to die. You're going to die. Who get? You know, you're going to die really bad, right? Where are the dinosaurs? Dead, dead, because, right? God killed everything that was living on the ground. He said, and Noah preached for over 100 years as he built, he preached, judgment is coming. And they're like, okay, it's partly cloudy. Ooh, here comes the rain. They mocked Noah day by day. 2 seconds after the ark was shut by the hand of God, the Bible says Noah built it and God closed the ark's door. Did you know that? Noah couldn't open it if he wanted to. God shut the door and it was then judgment was poured out. Wrath of God was poured out on all the earth. Friends, brothers and sisters, we're preaching today. You must be born again. You have to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father. No one's coming into safety. No one's coming into heaven except through me. That's what Jesus said. That's why he came as a perfect sacrificial Lamb of God to die for your sins and mine. And inviting everyone, who wants in? Who wants safety? Who wants eternal security? Come. He invites us. He woos us from the word. He woos us as a man does when he loves a woman. He's trying to win her heart. He's calling with love, saying, who wants in safety? He didn't build another wooden ark. He died on a wooden cross. He outstretched his hand and said, who will come? And he showed that he was God by his death, burial, and resurrection. God raised him from the dead. The Bible even says, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the tongue, a man confesses that we believe this is true. And with his heart, his inmost being, he believes this to be true by faith. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who walked up the plank of the ark, God guaranteed everyone who's going in the ark shall be saved. Were they saved? We have a test here. Did God save the people on the ark? Did he save the animals on the ark? God is faithful, so therefore we can put our faith and trust in him. How about all the other people? Like, they're laughing as the door shut. What is that crazy man and his family doing? They were laughing. Why is he putting an animal of every kind on there? What's happening? This is weird. Remember, the dew used to come off the ground in the garden, and that's how we believe that still God watered the earth. 2 seconds before Noah, the door, God shut the door, everyone's laughing at Noah and his family. 2 seconds after the ark door closed, what's everybody doing? Trying to get in or run to high ground? It's raining. And it's not just raining, y'all, because we sing those songs. You forget everything you learned at church and preschool. It wasn't like it rained for 40 days and Noah got up. 40 days, that's good. Noah was on the ark over 1 year. Over 1 year. Read the Bible for yourself. It'll blow your mind when you actually read the facts. There was 2 of every kind of unclean animal and 7 doubles. So there was 14 of every clean animal, a male and female. You'll find out if you keep reading. We'll see what Noah did when he got off the ark. Let's continue. Through his obedient faith, Noah condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that comes by faith. As God revealed his plan to judge the earth with a flood, Noah found grace in God's sight. This grace was God's unmerited favor, as we just talked about, given to Noah and his family in a time of widespread wickedness. Remember that. Jesus said, as it was in the day of Noah, so will it be before the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to be evil. People are going to do their own pleasure. Kids are going to be disobedient to their parents. Lewdness, wickedness is going to happen everywhere, and everyone's going to think they're doing right if they kill the righteous people of God. Is that happening today? You saw New York just elected Muslim. Y'all, the Muslims' teachings, their book, or quote-unquote their holy book, tells them permission to kill infidels. That's you. That's me. You see what can't happen here? Did you see in Michigan, they've now put Arabic on the police badges so they'll understand the language. I drove through Dearborn. I was amazed at the Middle Easterners, Arabic-speaking people that were there, because we come out of Canada and came through Ambassador Bridge and was amazed. Iraqi flags, Iranian flags, and all Middle Eastern flags hanging from the cars flying. And I felt like I was in the Middle East. I've traveled the world. I felt like I was in the Middle East. All coming across the bridge from Canada into America. It's coming. Listen, I'm not fearful. I welcome it. I'm excited about it because the Lord's word is true. I've got my place reserved. I'm going to preach Jesus till I die, as long as I can preach, as long as I have my mind and voice. I'm going to preach Jesus Christ. You must be born again. I'm going to say what God says about salvation until I can't say it anymore, until I'm dead. If I offend people, I've got to tell you very carefully. My wife says, don't say this in the pulpit anymore, but I'm going to say it. She's not here. If I offend you with the word of God, if I offend you with my voice and my being, for that, I'm sorry. I never try to offend with my voice. But if I offend you with the word of God, I don't care. I want to offend you with the word of God. I want to push you so hard you say, that guy is absolutely crazy or illiterate or something, and go to the word for yourself and look it up. If I've said something today that you can prove in the word of God, I'll come back next Sunday that I was wrong. I'll come back next Sunday and I'll repent of that and I'll make it clear next Sunday. But if I said something that offends you today and you know you don't have salvation in Christ alone, and you're not walking out your faith as if you were Moses or Enoch, listen, come to me again and say, Pastor, I'm not walking it out. Either come to me next Sunday and say, I'm wrong or you're wrong. But either way, listen, my goal is to have you walk in relationship with God. Stop playing church. Stop acting like you're righteous when you know that you're not. Stop calling yourself a follower of Christ. If you're out there sinning every day at work, tell everyone you're a Muslim. Tell them you're an unbeliever, an atheist. Don't call yourself a Christian. And if you come to Town Creek as a member, God forbid that you tell them you belong to our church. Don't tell them that you're a member here. Don't tell them that you're a member of the kingdom. Act like it. Either change your ways or change your church. Amen? That might offend you, and I hope it does. God wants you to live like Christ. God called Noah into a personal relationship with him. But we're playing games today, church. TikTok's more interesting than the Bible, so I don't have time. I'm too busy. I hope that if you really want to see God and you complain that you're too busy, that you lose your job, that you're put in a hospital somewhere, that you can actually spend some time listening to the word of God, that you can take in the word of God. You say, Pastor, that's heavy. Well, I put it on myself last week. I asked that God would kill me dead, absolutely 100% dead, if I ever violate my covenant relationship with my wife or sin against his church in a way or the body of Christ in a way or God himself in a way that would bring him shame. You said, well, you do that every day. Well, I'm talking about in a very direct way, an immoral way. We don't need and can't have another pastor fail. The abuse is rampant in our society. We're in the days, as it were, of Noah. Let's continue with you to see this. No, by faith, Noah stood as a righteous man in a perverse generation. That's what I want to be. I hope that's what you want to be. Walking with God and living in obedience to who? To God. Noah's life was God-centered. So many people today, and everybody in Noah's day, their lives were self-centered. We wonder where God's at. Church, friends, God never moves. God's still on his throne. He's in the same place. It's us that dabble with sin, and then once we get caught, it's like a bass kind of hitting that lure just a little bit, swimming by it, and all of a sudden, finally, it gets hooked. And guess what happens? The angler rolls him out, right? And the bass is like, how did I ever get caught? I don't know what happened. It was a shiny thing. It was like shiny. I thought it was real fish. So I ate it. All the other fish, don't touch it. All the old wise fish, don't touch that thing. Artificial bait. I'm talking as a bass. Y'all know that, right? But don't we do the same thing? Did God really say you can't have any of that? Does God really care what you think? Does God care where you go? Does God care about your actions? And over again. And listen, God cares about every fiber of your being. Do you understand that this morning? God cares. Read 1 John. God loves you. God has a standard for us to live by. And therefore, you see Noah living by that standard. God revealed his divine plans. Don't forget this. God revealed his divine plans for both the unrighteous and the blueprints for the ark. Completely unrelated. I'm going to bring judgment on all these people. And by the way, here's how you build it. Here's how you fix it. And he gave him the exact measurements, and God spoke very clearly. Again, God does not speak, or Charlie Brown's teacher. If you're not hearing from God, and sometimes you might be praying about something, God's got you on hold. He will make you wait sometimes, right? For his glory. So don't get ahead of him. But God speaks to us, church. God has spoken. Watch this, I'll show you. Let's compare society. I know I'm going to offend you. If I do, again, I'll do it from the Word of God. Let's compare our society today, what you know about society, what you're experiencing. What you're creating. Because if you're allowing it in your family, it's on you. Daddies, it's on you. If your kids, my kids junked up with all these videos, it's on you. Mamas, it's on you. Grandma, grandpa, it's on you. Enoch left a righteous path for his children to follow, and only record we have of is Noah. Now, there could have been others, but we have the record of Noah, but the rest of them didn't make it on the ark. Your children might not make it on the ark because of your sin or what you allowed to do. Son, don't do that. Daughter, don't go there. Don't say that. Don't be that. Listen, if you're in our family, like Joshua says, that's for me and my house, we will do what? We will serve the Lord. You can choose what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And what does it look like in the 21st century? Does God speak about theft? What does he say? What does he say? See, anybody quote what God says about stealing? Come on, say it. What does he mean? Thou shalt not steal. Well, Pastor, I can't understand the King James. Don't steal. Is that how you got that? It was a translation. Did y'all get that? Because the King James just really confuses me, Pastor, when he says thou and thee. That's what people tell me all the time. I just can't understand the King James. It is written on the 11th grade reading level, so that means your level of reading is not there, just so you know. If you NIV, 7th grade, just for the record. NIRV, 4th grade. You see what we're doing? We're dumbing down Scripture so that people can, quote, unquote, understand it. You will never understand the Word of God until God reveals it to you. He says he will give it to you. But sometimes you got to get it on your knees with an open Bible. Lord, just help me understand Revelation. I'm not going to read it today, but help me understand it because I got a friend who's asking me questions. Don't be like that. Noah was a righteous man. He's listening to God. He's taking pen and papyrus, I guess it was. He's taking something. He's writing it down. Noah had people help build the ark. Some of you guys are builders and you're engineers. You build stuff. You make stuff happen. You understand this better than anyone. Moms, you understand this. You run a home. It takes a lot. Let's continue. That's the sermon for another day. Let me finish. God established a covenant with Noah. After the floodwaters receded, Noah and his family were saved by God's grace. Noah did all that God commanded him, and by faith, he and his family entered the ark, escaping the flood that destroyed every living thing on the earth. But somebody would come up and say, yeah, but Noah, he built a vineyard when he got off. Boy, he got drunk. Noah got drunk. That's what people love to come back with. That is not the first thing he did when he got off the ark. Watch what he did. I gave it into your notes. Genesis 8. Noah's first action after leaving the ark was to do what? To worship God, offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving. What season are we into right now? Thanksgiving. God, thank you. Thank you for saving my family. Thank you for saving cows for steaks. Thank you, right? I don't know if he was thinking that much, but he was. Thank you for lamb chops. I saved 14 of them. Here's a couple for the offering. And what do you do with the burnt offering? You eat it after it's roasted. It's offered to God, the blood. He was thankful. In response, God blessed Noah and his sons, commanding them to be fruitful and multiply, filling the earth once again. One of these boys is your great-great-granddaddy. Somebody know who do you come from? Do you know? If you're European descent, you come from Japheth. If you're Asian descent-ish, it's a mix here, you're from Shem. If you're from African descent, you're from Ham. You say, well, how do you know that? Read the Bible. The Bible tells you where they migrated, and we see where there's evidence of their migration. Well, how do we get black people, white people, purple people, everything we got? God's an artist. Have you seen the rainbow we're about to talk about? How many of y'all learned Roy G. Biv when you were in school? Anybody? Who has never heard of Roy G. Biv? I got to tell you, I was an adult before I heard about Roy G. Biv. What's the color of the rainbow? Red for Roy. Red, orange, yellow. Come on, y'all don't know the colors of the rainbow? Let's do it again. Do it with me. Say it with me. We're about to close out here. What? Roy, R-O-Y-G-B-I-V. Roy G. Biv is what I'm saying. These are the colors of the rainbow. Ready? Let's do it again. Start with Roy. R, red, orange, yellow. Oh, you got it. And violet. Very good. That's the colors of the rainbow. By the way, who does the rainbow belong to? The one who made it. Here's what the Bible says. Watch this. God gave the rainbow as a sign of his covenant, promising that he would never again destroy the entire earth with a flood. The rainbow is God's own sign, a reminder of his everlasting covenant with Noah, his descendants, and all generations to come. Let me remind you before we close. Jesus said, just as is in the days of Noah, so will it be when the Lord's about to return, the judgment of God's coming. Can you see what the LGBT community, by the way, speak of that? Does God speak of that anywhere in the Bible? Yeah, Pastor, I can't say much because I got a cousin who I really love, and I just don't want to. I don't want to say anything about it. Get over yourself and your comfort, and start calling what God says sin, sin. If you're living an alternative lifestyle, you are living in sin. And the Bible says those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I just love them, Pastor. No, you don't. No, you don't. If the bridge was out down here and down on Silver Bluff Road, and cars are flying down, and I the first one on the scene, I see it, and I'm like, whew, glad I caught that. And I head back the other way. Safe travels. And then what are they going to do? Every person, if the Bible's true, and I believe it is, if God says you practice such things, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, guess what you will not inherit? Well, Pastor, our society, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, Pastor, I believe you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You don't override God in any part of your life or thinking. But you will choose in your mind, as a man thinks, so is he, the Bible says. You are making choices every day. Will you live for Christ? Will you call sin sin? Not being a legalist, walking out going, that's sinful, that's sinful, that's sinful. Because we do have to look into the mirror of God, right? Because he says, you shouldn't have said that or done that. Oh, Lord, forgive me. It's a daily walk with God. Walk with God how often? Daily. So, if you've got a question, marriage, divorce, what else we got? Financials, science, archaeology. Guess what people are doing today? Surprisingly, archaeology in Israel just found out it matches exactly what the Bible said. And we're like, oh, really? We can trust God's word because they found a stone. Who cares about a brick? I care about the word of God. Amen? Oh, they found the road to Damascus. Woo. Knew about that? I don't know. A couple thousand years ago, right? Right? We don't read the Bible. We shouldn't be like, oh, good. Finally, my atheist friends are going to believe because they found a rock in Israel. Your atheist friends are going to believe because the Word of God has been exposed to, they've been exposed to the Word of God. God's going to draw them like he drew you, and then they're going to respond yes or no. That's how we're going to change the world. Preach Jesus till he comes. He's salvation. He's a picture of Noah's ark. He's a picture of Noah's faith. Salvation belongs to the Lord alone. Alone. Let me close today because we can go on and on. Y'all, I get excited about this stuff because it's real to me. And it's real. I get excited about this because it's real. Whether it's to me or you or not, I get excited. And God gave me the microphone. So let's pray. Father God, I trust you today, and I love you, and I thank you that people have come. I know we have guests, and I know we have members, and I know we have people that get really uncomfortable when we look into your word. Help us never to stop dividing the word of God. Let us find out the whole counsel of God as we read. And Lord, we've been through Old Testament prophets. Lord, we've been in creation, in Genesis. We've been to Revelation. We've seen what happened, and we've seen what's happening, and we see what's going to happen in the future. And Lord, thank you that you're in charge, that we don't have to rely on ourselves. We can rely on the Spirit of God to help us understand this word, and Lord, to promote this word to the world. Maybe we witnesses for Christ until you come. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Hey, Faith family, listen, if you come today, every service we give an invitation. Would you like to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you like to surrender and say, listen, I want Jesus in my life? That's what we invite you to do. I walked down an aisle very similar to this smaller church, though, probably about this section, and said, look, I want what you're talking about, preacher. And he helped me. And I've never been the same since then. He said, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm like, man, I've heard that my whole life. He said, turn around, you're going to hell. I've told you this before. In the Navy, we used to tell each other to go to hell, but no one ever told me I was going to hell. It made me angry. And I responded. He said, go back to your seat, and you're going to die and go to hell. He made me mad. He pricked my heart with the word of God. And I turned around, what do I have to do? And he was a rough pastor. He, get on your knees. That's what he told me. Whole congregation heard it. All right. And I responded to my personality through him, through the Holy Spirit. And I've never been the same since. Why do I preach like I do? Why do I care like I do? It's because God cares for you as a sinner. God wants you to have this righteous life and live for him all the days of your life. He wants you to walk with him because it's a sweet, sweet walk. It's not just a little walk in the morning. It's every day, morning, noon, and night. God loves you, and God wants a personal love relationship with you. Why would you fight that? He's here to love you, to help you through life. Listen, in the end, your spot can be reserved around the throne of God. Mine's already there. Have you made that decision? If you want to make that decision this morning, we invite you to come. If you just need to come pray, Lord, I just need to dump my groceries, if you will, my troubles on the altar. You can do that. There's no animal sacrifice. It's the blood sacrifice of Christ. But you can't leave here different than you came. Listen, or you can leave here the same as you came, but you've heard the word of God to be true, I hope. That was my point. That's God's intention. Noah was a righteous man, and he walked with God. He followed great-great-grandpa's example, and it was right. Because God bragged on Enoch. God bragged on Noah. God even talks about him in the New Testament. Jesus even bragged on Noah. Peter bragged on Noah, a righteous preacher in a day of unrighteousness. And it is a day of unrighteousness. No one can say differently. It is sinful society that we live in. But there is this righteous light that shines 24/7, 7 days a week, inviting people, come in here for safety. Come in here for safety. Come to Jesus for safety. The question is, will you just let go? And like Noah going, man, what are we doing? Noah walked up that board, of that plank, if you will, and walked in, and he heard that door shut. Safe. And is Noah in heaven today? Listen, God's not through writing history. Your name is here. You were born. You have an eternal soul. And I told you it's the three H's. You'll be here tomorrow? Are you going to be in heaven tomorrow? Or are you going to be in hell tomorrow? That's one of the three H's. You're going to choose. Now, if God lets you live, you're here. If God takes your life, you're one of those two places. There is no third option. If you're former Catholic, there is no purgatory. That was a man-made money device to make money from parishioners. Did y'all know that? There's either heaven forever, hell forever. The choice is yours. But while you're here, let's make the best of it and walk with God. Let's stand together and sing as Rand sings. If you need to make a decision or need to pray, you come. You pray by yourself. You pray where you're standing. You sing this morning.